We're thankful the Lord did give himself. Thank you, ladies, for that good song there. We appreciate that. And you know, that kind of goes right along with the message. We are in eschatology and discussing the things of the coming of the Lord and when the Lord Jesus will come the second time and what will happen. And you know, this is not just there in an isolated way. It's not just a curiosity. God is revealing these things to us because it all relates to the process of redemption. God's revelation here deals with this matter of redemption. Christ came to be that sacrifice that paid the penalty that we could never pay. He is that one who extends to us the mercies that we cannot do without. Without those mercies of God, we are hopeless and helpless and have no salvation. And yet he came to provide that for us. And out of that will eventually come his reigning and ruling, as is told back in the Old Testament, back there to David and to all of the prophets. And it really comes together in the fountainhead of the Lord returning and fulfilling that promise. And so that's kind of where we are at with all of those things. And so it's a wonderful blessing. Well, let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Isaiah, if you would. We're going to be looking at some of the blessings that we will have during the millennium and what is going on in the millennial period. And I'll get to that here in just a second as you turn over there in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. I'm trying to find a song here that I was looking for, and I'm having a hard time finding where it's at. It's getting lost there. Okay, there's one. All right. So, in Isaiah, let's see. Let me get myself back here and where I'm at. We've been talking about how Christ is going to return and the fulfillment of the fact of all of redemptive history. Christ is coming back. And when he does, he's going to establish a kingdom on this world which will never end. It will begin with a thousand-year reign in which the world will know the blessings that ought to have come at the time of Adam but were lost because of the curse. We'll know that. And then it will be brought together. It will be released. There will be a little judgment at the end when those who are born during that period have that opportunity to accept Christ or reject, and Satan released, and there will be that final temptation. But then we will usher into that period of righteousness and eternity when there will be heaven forever and bliss. And so many of these promises and descriptions that are given to us of this millennial period spill over into eternity. And sometimes it's difficult to determine, do they go here or do they go there? Which one do they go into? And so there are some blessed conditions in this millennium that are coming. And these conditions that are coming give us encouragement and help. Now, we've looked at a lot of these, four of them so far. We looked last week at comfort, the blessings of comfort that will come upon us. Another great blessing which will come is found in the book of Isaiah in chapter 32 and verse number 16. In Isaiah 32 and verse number 16, we read this, Isaiah 32:16. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. So one of the characteristics of the millennial period will be that there will be justice everywhere. Now we know that because the king is going to rule and reign in righteousness, and in justice will he execute the law. And so there's going to be a day of absolute justice, a day when justice will reign. So one of the characteristics of the millennium is, yes, there's joy and there's peace and there's comfort. Yes, these are wonderful things. But there will also be justice. There won't be iniquity that is unrequited. There won't be things going on that ought not be going on. There won't be corruption and evil and sin. There will be justice. Now, another characteristic, and I'm not going to look at justice a lot because we talked about that a lot when we talked about the Lord Jesus being the king and he being just. But another characteristic will be the characteristic of full knowledge. With Christ in person upon the throne, the one that we can go to seek wisdom and knowledge, with the Holy Spirit there guiding us, there will be a full and complete knowledge of the Lord in that day. The portion Brother Lewis read for us there in Isaiah chapter 11 And verse number 1 and 2 speaks about the fact that the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest upon Christ. When He sits upon the throne, He will have that Spirit of the Lord. It is described as the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge, the very fear of the Lord. In verse 9, it says that they will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, that will be a different and radically changed day. You know, I've been working in the ministry now for 19 years, 20 years, something like that. And in those 20 years of observing people and why they come to church, and having had many hundreds of folks come through the church and visiting them, and you know, I've come to the conclusion that most people come to church because of the social aspect. I mean, that's really the truth of it. There are some who come because of Christ. There are some who come and know what a church believes and join because of the beliefs of what the church holds. And there are some. You know, but truthfully, most people don't know what their church believes. They don't really know what it teaches. They don't really know the difference between this church and the church down the street. And I mean, the truth of the matter is, most people, you know, well, they talk about God and they talk about being good. They must be okay. That's kind of the way it is. Most people really don't know. They come and find a place where they feel at home and they like others, and you know, that's kind of the truth of it. But there is coming a day, which maybe it's not so much of an encouragement to others, but to me it is, that the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. As the bottom of the sea is completely buried in water, I mean, it is intimately knowledgeable of water. So people in that day will know Christ. It won't be, you know, the social aspects in that day. People will know the Lord from the least to the greatest. They will know what the Bible teaches. They will know what Christ is about. They will know Him. What a blessing that will be when we know God. When we see Him and know Him, even as He knows us. What a blessing. And so, that is an encouragement. There's coming a day when there will be knowledge of the Lord. In Isaiah 41 and verse number 19 down through verse 20. Isaiah 41, verse 19. It says, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the olive tree, and I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine tree, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and that the Holy One of Israel hath created it. See, there's coming a day when God is going to change, yea, even the wilderness. And they, when the wilderness and the world knows God, and it will be changed. And what will happen? People will consider what God has done, the great changes that He has brought about, and they will know that it is the hand of the Lord who has done this. One of the revelations of God that we have today is nature. Now, of the revelations of God that we have, the greatest and the highest, of course, would be the Lord Jesus. You know, and equal thereunto, or, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, right there together would be the Word of God, the perfect revelation of God. And these are the primary and most important things to which we are to look. We are to look to the Word and to what it says. And we find Christ revealed to us there in the Word. And He revealed Himself to His apostles. And they wrote down what He was like and told us of Him. And so we know of Him. And so there is that. But Scripture also tells us in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Nature itself declares God's glory and speaks of Him. In that day, people will actually understand the message. I listened to a person discussing science, and I like science, and so they were discussing how they need to teach science and all the things, The interviewer was talking about the frustration that he must have because so many people do not believe science and they don't accept the precepts and the knowledge of science and all these things, and how that it was such a bad thing that there were so many who don't even accept that evolution is science. And she's talking about how it's such a preponderance of evidence. And, you know, I have no problem with science. I have no problem with evidence. I have a problem with her interpretation of evidence. I have no problem with the fact that there's a lot of dead things. There are a lot of dead things. There's a lot of dead bones out there. There's a lot of rocks out there. And a lot of rocks are bent and crooked. And, you know, there's volcanoes that come up and down. There's all kinds of things. I don't have any problem with that. I have no problem with science. But I have a problem with her interpretation of what it says. She interprets it to mean that it has to be this way. It reveals to me that there is no God. That there is no creator. That there is no wisdom. That all those things are, you know, that these things just happened. That matter is in itself eternal. That it operates by an unchanging principle. Even though the whole principle by which it must operate is constant change, but it cannot operate by constant change because it must operate, it must have one eternal principle, which is constant change. And therefore, we will have infinite possibilities within a system of constant change, giving us the arisal of that which is impossible to us. And they asked me to accept on faith, without evidence, without proof, without science. Because science is observable, it is measurable, it is repeatable. Nobody saw it, nobody has seen it, nobody measured it, and nobody has repeated it. Now when they repeat it, when they see it, and when they measure it, then I accept it. But when they're just telling me what they think, you know, I look at this and I draw this conclusion. And you must be dumb because you don't draw the same conclusion I do. You know, that's not very good reason. That's not science. But there is coming a day, folk, when the knowledge of creation will be rightly understood. They will know that it was God who did these things. It was God who made them. In Isaiah 54 and verse number 13, Isaiah 54 and verse 13, it says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." When our children are taught of the Lord, what is the result? Great peace. When our children are not taught of the Lord, what's the result? Not great peace. You got other things besides great peace, but you don't have great peace. It is the knowledge of the Lord that gives us peace. When we know Him, we have peace. And in that day, the children will be taught of the Lord. There won't be those crazy ideas that parents get. Well, I don't want to force religion on my child. I want them to make up their own mind. You know, that's one of the very few and strange things parents do in that way. You know, you don't let them make up their own mind about walking out in front of the car and not looking. You don't let them make up their own mind about experimenting with electricity. Let's just stick my scissors in the plug and see what happens. You don't let them make up their own mind about touching things that are hot. You know, you don't let them make up their own mind about all kinds of things. But when it comes to the destiny of their eternal soul, people will say, well, you know, I just want them to make up their own minds. You certainly wouldn't want to guide them or direct them or help them and encourage them in the paths of righteousness. Let them know the Lord. No, let's let them be blissfully ignorant, and somehow that will work out wonderfully. Strange how people come up with these ideas, isn't it? But you know, there's coming a day when the children shall be taught of the Lord. And what's going to be the result? We won't have fights in schools, and we won't have war, and we won't have troubles, and we won't have problems. There will be what? Great peace when people know the Lord. And so, not only will there be justice and full instruction, full knowledge, but there will also be instruction. This knowledge that we will have will come about through the instruction that issues from the king himself. Back in Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 through 3, we are told that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, shall be exalted above the hills. The nations will flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. See, there's coming a day when people are going to be saying, you know, let's take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem so we can learn from Jesus himself and know what we ought to do. So we'll understand the right way. We can get all these questions answered. We won't be confused as to what's the right thing to do or what's the right way to believe. We'll just go over there and ask the Lord himself, and he'll instruct us and teach us. What a day that's going to be when the Lord sits on the throne and tells us himself how we ought to understand and how we ought to live. In Isaiah chapter 12 and verses 3 through 6, Isaiah 12, verse 3 through 6, he says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day ye shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out, shout, and the inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So there's going to be a day when people will just draw out of the wells of salvation. They'll be able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me understand. Help me to see. Help me to know. And he will have that. And the result will be that there will be salvation. People will be crying out and praising God because they have drawn out of those wells of salvation. There is, even to this day, that well of salvation. The Lord in Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3, he says, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come and buy for nothing. The Lord wants to provide salvation. He offers it to everyone. Anyone can have that gift of salvation. Anyone can be saved. Anyone can receive the blessings of salvation. You can know the joys of the millennial period. And these joys that will be extended even into heaven, these can be yours. You can know those things yourself. You can have them if you will. Christ offers them freely. And anyone who believes on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what a promise and a blessing that there is salvation and deliverance for all. Over in Isaiah 29 and verse 17. Isaiah 29 and verse 17. It tells us here, it is not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. So there is coming a day when instruction is going to be given. And not only will it be for those who are rich and wealthy and have the ability to go to Jerusalem and offer, yea, it will be even for the people who are deaf, who can't hear. God says they will be restored so they can hear. And for that one who is blind and cannot see and cannot understand, his eyes will be opened so that he may see and understand. For those who are without wealth, they don't have the power, the meek, the poor, they shall rejoice in that Holy One of Israel. Why? Because he will instruct them. God's going to instruct. People will know. The blessings of salvation will be revealed. People will know the Lord. In that day, there will be no excuse for anyone saying, I didn't understand, I didn't know. God will teach them himself. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 20 and 21, it says, And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into the corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear the word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand or when ye turn to the left. See, there's coming a day when the knowledge and instruction of the Lord will be not like today where, you know, you don't always understand and you don't always know what they're telling you and you don't always know what's the right thing to do and you're going along in life and you're saying, should I go this way? Should I go that way? I'm not sure. Which way do I go? And you're trying to figure out what the Lord wants you to do. In that day, you won't have any trouble. You'll go, Lord, is it this way? And you'll say, no, go that way. Okay, Lord. And you'll know what to do. You'll hear the voice of the Lord behind you saying, this is the way, go here. This is the way, go here. You won't have to wonder what the Lord wants us to do in that day. We will be taught of the Lord. The Lord Himself will give us that instruction. Isaiah 32, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 32, verse 3 and 4. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. The ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart of the rash shall understand knowledge. The tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. See, God is going to make a change in that day. And those who are, as you get older, you can't see so well. You know, on glasses, off glasses, on glasses, off glasses. I have to do that because if I put the glasses on, I can read the words. But if I stare at you when I read, have my glasses on, then I can't read the words because my eyes get used to the... So, you know, it's on, off, on, off, on, off. That's pain. But, you know, that's coming to an end. There's going to be a day when the Lord will deliver us from that. The ears of them that hear will hearken. You know, that's probably the hardest thing in Christian life, isn't it? You hear the word of the Lord. It's easy to hear. It's hard to hearken. It's hard to do. It's easy to hear, but it's hard to make yourself be what you ought to be. But there will be a day when God's people will hearken. And what an encouragement that is for those of us who struggle with sin and know the grief of that. There is coming a deliverance. Then in Isaiah 49 and verse number 10. Isaiah 49 and verse number 10. Another blessing of wisdom and instruction that shall come in that day. Isaiah 49 and verse 10. And it says there that they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall they the heat nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. God is going to guide us in that day and direct us in that way. We will know his leadership and be led by him. And so another characteristic of the millennium is not only is there justice and knowledge of the Lord, but there's the instruction of the Lord himself, guiding us and directing us in all of those things. Then there's going to be another blessing, and that we have alluded to, but it is the removal of this curse. Today, the world is under a curse. Paul says that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, waiting for the redemption of the body. All right, so the whole creation is under a curse. Why do we have thorns and thistles and lions that eat other things and bears that chew up other things? And, you know, why do we have all that? Why this mess in creation? Because of man's sin. The iniquity of man, the curse of man, the sin of us. We ruined the wonderful creation that God brought. But God is not going to leave it in that condition. He will redeem it and even reverse that situation. Back in Isaiah 11 and verse number 6 here, and I'll try to go through this one quickly here, just a few verses. Isaiah 11 and verse number 6 through 9, he says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, the little child shall lead them. Now, that's a reversal of nature. Okay? You don't put the leopard in there with the little kid. You know, that's the goat, not a small child. A little kid, you know. You don't certainly send the small child in to lead the lion. I mean, you know, you may send a lion tamer in there, but, even they get eaten sometimes. You just don't send the small child in there. I mean, but in that day, the little child will go over there and grab the lion by the mane and say, come on, kitty. You know, and they will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy hill. What a blessing. The cow, the bear shall feed together. The young lion shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. See, the lion's not going to have to eat meat. It's going to eat grass. That was what God intended. We were going to eat plants. That's what God made. That was going to be the creation, and we will be changed back to that. But he said, the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. Now, you would never, you know, put down a little baby. You know, I see a little carob back there. And you know, you would never lay a little baby down on the, you know, on the rattlesnake's hole. Like, good heavens. I mean, the very thought of that is perverse. You would not even consider such foolishness. In that day, sure, the snake will watch over. I mean, that's a change in nature, isn't it? That is a change in that day. What a different world this will be. God is going to make all things new. And this will happen when? When the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord. Well, over in Isaiah 35 and verse number 9, another passage that speaks of this. It says, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up in there, for that shall not be found there, for the redeemed shall walk there. This is going to be the highway that will lead up to heaven, that will go up to actually Jerusalem, to the temple where the Lord is. And so here people will be able to walk in that highway. You won't have to worry about wild beasts eating you and all that. There won't be any in that day on that way. God has provided safety for us. Isaiah 65. And verse number 25, Isaiah 65, verse 25, he says, I'll give you a second to get there. Isaiah 65, 25 says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So in that day, there's going to be a change. No longer will the snakes eat meat. They'll eat dirt. You say, dirt? That sounds rather disgusting. Well, you know, worms eat dirt. You may not be aware of that, but worms eat dirt. You know, they burrow through the ground, and the dirt passes right through the worms. And, you know, good, healthy soil has lots of worms in it. If you have a good garden, you have lots of worms in there. If you have bad dirt, you have very few worms in there. If you don't have good worms out there in your yard, your grass is not going to grow well. So worms are a good thing. They open up the air and allow the soil to go through. Their digestive tract helps to open up the minerals that are contained in there and release those into the soil. They're a great thing. God says in that day the snakes are going to be like that. They'll just work their way through the soil and eat those things. Yes, they are going to be changed. God has a plan, a beautiful and wonderful plan for us. And I'll end with one last verse. And this is not in Isaiah, and so this will be the place we end. And this is in Amos chapter 9 and verse number 13, which is over in the minor prophets, Daniel, Isaiah, Joel, Amos. So over there in Amos chapter 9 and verse number 13. And it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the tender of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. Now, can you imagine that kind of productivity in this world? You know, you drop the seed in, it's like Jack and the Beanstalk. He drops the seed in, the next day, you know, the giant beanstalk. You drop the grapes in, you know, and the guy, you know, here's one guy, he drops in the seed, and right behind him is the guy who's picking the grapes. Just the amazement of this. The guy who is reaping the crop, you know, right behind him is the guy plowing and putting the next crop in. Just blessing upon blessing upon blessing. There will be abundance. There will be plenty. There will not be a lack in that day. There won't be starvation. There won't be people around the world who are going to bed hungry. There won't be all the suffering and the misery that we face. It's going to be a radically changed creation. A creation where the hills literally give forth food. They just provide it for us. Where there is, you know, the wine, you know, the symbol of fruit juice, you know, of grape juice, the blessing that they had of those beverages that they could store will be just super abundant. You know, this is what's coming when the sin of man is reversed, when the King who has purchased for us redemption, who is now just and the justifier, comes that second time in power and glory to restore this world and to bring about an end to the curse and to bring salvation unto the ends of this world. That's what we're looking forward to. That's the great hope of the Christian. That's that world that we wait for, that resurrection that we are looking forward to. These are the descriptions. What a blessing it is for the people of God. If you don't know Christ, it's not for you. And so today might be that day when you need to trust the Savior so that you can have those blessings. And we who know Him need not hide that blessing. We need to share that out with the world and let them know of the blessings of those that are coming and encourage them to partake of those blessings themselves. Let's bow.